It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know who you are?
Steven is my name. Even Steven.
Will you say something, Steven?
Steven or else media.
You're listening to the Superman Super Show, episode number 3, Superman Battles Death Underground. Hello and welcome to an all-new episode of the Superman Super Show. I'm a host, my name is Steven, and 1,000 miles over there to my right is another host, Mr. Ed Moore.
Oh, hello, I'm Ed. Hello, Ed. sorry.
Ed's an old man, you gotta forgive him.
I was too busy pointing and trying to get my finger in the right place in the camera.
All this technology,
I podcast vocal when there is no pretty or unpretty, but however you want to look at it.
So, I like these newfangled machines.
It is. It's like, wow.
So today we're going to look at a Superman tale from Action Comics number 3. This is entitled Superman Battles Death Underground, which is a wonderful title. And I immediately picture Superman wrestling with the Grim Reaper, but that's not what happens at all.
Something to know, and we haven't really pointed it out yet, is none of these stories, nor will they for a while, actually have a title. Everywhere you go, the title of the story will be different because whoever wrote about it titled it. So, because I have also the Blakely Mine Disaster as an alternate title, and I saw that maybe on the Grand Comics database when I looked up the book. So it's like, all of these will have 2 or 3 or 4 titles because there's nothing official. So it's just like, well, let's call it, Although I will say Superman Battles Death Underground is much better than the Blakely Mine Disaster. That sounds like something that comes around every year with an honorarium and memoriam and all that stuff.
Now, I'm getting the titles from DCFandom.com, but I did notice that the front matter, the content area of the Superman in the Golden Age that we're reading does have titles. And they titled issue 2 as Revolution in San Monte Part 2.
Okay.
And they titled this the Blakely Mine Disaster.
Okay.
So maybe I should be using that.
I don't really think it matters because I don't think that's official either. Because like I said, these didn't have titles.
Yeah, so I agree. And I do love the name Superman Battles Death Underground.
Yeah. It's much more dramatic.
I would lean toward, if anything is official, it's going to be what is in this official DC publication.
It's official because they said so, but not official because that's the way it always was, So it's like,
Exactly. So, all right. So this one was, it's got a cover date of August of 1938, of course, published by DC Comics, written by Jerry Siegel, art by Joe Shuster. And let me tell you what happens.
This is another story that came in at 12 2/3 pages.
I wonder if that's just going to be the norm for a while. Also, we didn't mention it in episode 2, but Action Comics number 1 features Superman on the cover.
Yes.
And then I don't know how many issues in we go until we get another Superman cover, but none of these others feature Superman on the cover at all. And I have to assume that's because it's not until he becomes popular, when DC realizes that the main reason people are buying the book is for the Superman stories.
Well, but he got the first cover.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting how that worked out.
I read up to 6, like I said, and I know that he wasn't on the cover of 6 either. So up to 6, just the first issue.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So I'm going to read through this synopsis.
Should we write a letter and tell him why not put Superman on the front cover?
Let's go back and retroactively do that. There is a cave-in in the Blakely coal mines, and a miner is trapped. Superman makes his way to the mine and discovers that the rescue crew has been stopped by poison gas, by which he is unaffected. He rescues them as well as the trapped miner. The next day, he asks the miner, Stanislaw Kober, what he thinks caused the mine collapse. Kober says that everyone knew the mine was unsafe, but management did nothing to prevent the collapse. Thornton Blakely, the mine owner, says otherwise, claiming that Kober's own carelessness caused the collapse. Superman decides to sneak into the Blakely estate dressed as a miner. He finds a party going on and gets captured. Blakely lets him stay at the party because he's coming up with an idea. Superman will lead them all down into the mine where they will continue their party. Once they are all in the mine, Superman attacks the tunnel supports, causing the entire party to be trapped under a cave-in. Blakely remembers the safety devices. He sets them off, only to discover that they've rusted over. They attempt to dig their way out, but they soon get winded. Blakely curses himself for treating the miners so badly. With everyone else in the party collapsed, Superman tears down the barriers so that the rescue workers can save everyone. Several days later, Clark Kent once again interviews Thornton Blakely, who now reveals that he is going to start treating his workers better. And again, that synopsis was taken from DCFandom.com. Ed, what did you think of this story?
Okay, the story itself, much more cohesive than the second one, than the first one. So we're starting to get into a rhythm of how the comic book stories are going to be put together moving forward. You know, they're more getting their feet, their legs under them. Still quite a bit of jumpy kind of stuff, I thought. I do like the name Stanislaw Kober, because that sounds like a Western European immigrant kind of name. These are the late 30s, and so I was like, okay, a little bit of a genuineness there.
His speech patterns match that.
Mm-hmm. You almost want to say the name Thornton Blakely with your back teeth clenched. You know, Thornton Blakely.
Yeah.
So you get that from the name too. So I like that there's some thought being put into this kind of throwaway stuff. You know, names are kind of they are or they aren't. You know, so I like that. I don't understand why they wanted to continue the party in the mines. I kind of got lost there. You know, Blakely has to know what the conditions of the mines are.
Apparently he didn't. He thought it was totally safe.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but it might be safe, but it's nasty, dirty, grubby, wet. You know, I mean, so it's like that's where you want to take your money, people.
Yeah, it made me think of, we've seen it where, you know, it's like the rich people are like, oh, wouldn't it be amusing if we slum it for just a little bit?
Yeah.
Oh, how droll, you know. And
go to the other side of the tracks and party. It's So just this probably was the most cohesive of the stories we've read so far. So it was entertaining. We saw Superman do some Superman things. We saw that he is immune to poisonous gas or whatever type of gas it was, if it wasn't poison, adding to the mythos of Superman. Other than that, everything in the story was the story itself. So good stuff. Still a couple, you know, what the hecks, not as many as before, but I liked it. It's continuing on what we've seen started in the first one and moving into the second issue and now the third issue. you know, you definitely are seeing, I think, some momentum. Is this the first one? Yeah, this is the first of several stories, which we will talk about next time, where Superman assumes an identity other than Clark Kent. Yep. He pretends to be someone or something he is not. And we see it first here as he pretends to be a lowly, and I say that tongue in cheek, a lowly miner.
He did disguise himself as a soldier in, the, right. In the previous issue. Yeah.
Yes, yes. He enlisted.
Yes, yes. After forcing the other guy to enlist,
yeah.
He too enlists, yeah.
So.
But, yeah, it was, because there was, it didn't continue, there wasn't a cliffhanger in the second story. This is an all new, it starts and stops. It's a done in one. So it was kind of a fun little adventure where basically Superman teaches a rich guy a lesson and teaches all his rich friends a lesson. And there is one line out of this thing that I want to read when Clark goes to see the guy at his business, and he's basically telling him that the mine seems to be unsafe. And he says, the guy says, "There are no safety hazards in my mine, but if there were, what of it? I'm a businessman, not a humanitarian." And wow. It's refreshing to see them actually admit it. Because I'm sure most businessmen today think the same exact way. This guy didn't. He's not afraid to say it, though. He's just like, whatever. I'm not going to do anything about it.
I'm trying to make money. What do I care?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Exactly. I'm not in the business of making sure my people are safe. I'm in the business of making money. And yeah, of course, he learns his lesson because
he learned it pretty well.
Yeah. And I have to wonder, though, what Superman's original plan was, because he sneaks in to the party dressed as a miner. Which is weird. I don't know where he thinks he was going there, but obviously he had a plan, because at one point they talk about how he has to quickly change his plans because now they're going down into this mine. Mm-hmm. So I would love to know what his original plan was, because the plan he had to then make up on the spot turned out very well, because again, he was able to teach them all a lesson. And when they're down there in the mine and they're all trapped, and immediately one of the rich guys goes after Blakely. Is that his name?
Yeah. Yes,
he just Blakely. Goes, "I'm going to kill you." He just
for bringing us down here. It's your fault.
Yeah. Yep. Right. I mean, it goes to rage so fast. I mean, they just turn on him so quickly. And then there's a moment where Blakely is trying to get the miner, Superman, to do something about, "Well, can't you, you know, do this?" And he's basically, "I'm ready to die. I don't know about you." And Blakely's like, "Oh no." And yeah, it's so funny. Superman is hardcore in these issues.
I think the kids say, suffers no fools.
Yes.
He's wow.
And it continues with this. It's, you know, obviously Jerry Siegel, again, from what I understand about his upbringing, you know, he was Jewish. So was Joe Shuster. He didn't come from, you know, they were middle class or low class family. Same with Shuster. And so here's another, this is, I think, might be the first example of them actually going up against, you know, corporate America essence. But still it's just Superman is the guy that's going to take on the bullies for the people who can't. That's kind of what they've established so far in these first three issues, is that, mm-hmm. Because of course he's not fighting supervillains. He's fighting gangsters and corrupt politicians and, soldiers, who torture other soldiers. And in this case, a businessman who doesn't care that he thinks it's safe, but you know what? If it's not, it doesn't matter.
I don't think he thought it was safe.
Well, the only reason I think he does is because that moment where he goes to the safety, whatever safety mechanism that he has in place, and finds out it doesn't work. You know, I don't think that he thinks that his people are working in prime conditions, but he seemed surprised that one little piece wasn't working.
Okay. Perhaps.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
But But we also know that, because he says it, my stuff is up to snuff. You know, my stuff is safe. But if it wasn't, who cares? That's exactly. Not my problem.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a humanitarian, which I don't know when some of these like labor laws were passed as far as keeping workers safe. I'm assuming it was after this at some point. But so. Yeah, that my eyebrows raised when I got to that line.
Yeah, that is definitely the kind of behavior that you are not going to see represented today.
No, no. And I would have not. Not at all been upset if Superman at that point would have just smashed his face in
after
he said that.
Yep.
But yeah, it is a more cohesive story. I think the art, it's good. It's still coming together. There are a lot of moments though when, and I kind of saw it in the second issue as well, when Superman is in disguise and then you see him with other miners, or in the second story, you see him with other soldiers. You can't immediately pick him out.
Right.
You
know,
he doesn't have that distinctive look, but right. that's not necessarily a Golden Age thing. I mean, you get a few, John Byrne characters together without costume, and you may not necessarily be able to pick out Johnny Storm and Captain America, you know? No Lois in this one.
Nope. Not at all.
I don't even think the paper. Oh, well. The paper's only involved because he finds out through the news wire about the collapse. And in fact, he is, as soon as it comes across the news wire, please, chief, let me handle this assignment. And the guy says, go to it, Kent. And then the very next panel, he's racing across, you know, running a streaking figure speeds towards Blakely Town at a terrific pace that not even the fastest auto or airplane could duplicate.
Running everywhere.
That silly cape behind him. So, yeah, I think as far as these three stories that we've talked about so far in these first three episodes, the one thing that ties them all together is, again, Superman. And it says it in the first issue, champion of the oppressed. Hmm. That's kind of his job. And there's a book. I'm gonna try to look it up real quick here. Okay, so there, you know who Brad Meltzer is?
Yes,
he he's of course he's written some comics, but he's also a novelist. He wrote a book called Book of Lies. I think that's the one, and it features like the history. Is this the one?
Conspiracy stuff?
Yes. Let's see. Let me just read these two lines. Okay, so in chapter 4 of the Bible, Cain kills Abel. It is the world's most famous murderer. But the Bible is silent about one key detail, the weapon Cain used to kill his brother. That weapon is still lost to history. In 1932... I thought
he used a rock.
Hmm?
I thought he used a rock.
Well, and if you believe Supernatural, he used the jawbone of an hen. Oh. I don't know. I've never read that part of the Bible.
Yeah, but, I thought he killed him with a rock. Okay, maybe not.
It goes on. In 1932, Mitchell Siegel was killed by 3 gunshots to the chest. While mourning, his son dreamed of a bulletproof man and created the world's greatest superhero, Superman.
Oh.
And so there's a lot of Superman mythos and behind the creation of Superman in that book. It's been a while since I've read it, but it's a really interesting read if anybody ever wants to look it up. Book of Lies by Brad Meltzer. But because we're talking about Superman being the champion of the oppressed, and that coming from the mind of Jerry Siegel, who probably grew up being, you know, first of all, he comes from people, the Jewish people, who probably especially at the time were not looked upon great. And then with everything that was going on in the world at the time, you know, it's like he wanted to create something to make the little man, the downtrodden, the you know, those people have somebody to look up to, somebody that would stand up for them when they can't do it themselves. So unfortunately that person was fictional, but still, that seems to be the theme going on so far.
And Siegel and Schuster were not the only people in their situation that did that.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, at this time, it seems that comic book creation was a multiply used method of doing that.
Yes.
I can't even say necessarily how frequently, but you know, if you look over the history of the startings of comic books, particularly at this time, the late 30s, early 40s, there are a lot of gentlemen, at least, who are in very, very similar positions for a myriad of reasons,
yep.
who are creating stories, writing, and artists doing that, making heroes. And you know, that's who we read now. So it's, I would be interested in, and I'm sure it has to be out there, but I would be interested in someone who has taken a look a couple steps back and looked over the entire scene at that time and written about the underpinnings of the origin of the comic book in the U.S. And, because there are so many similarities across the board that you have to be able to draw broad inferences about the time and the situation.
Yeah.
And maybe I just have missed that book, but I think it would make for some interesting reading.
Yeah, it might be out there. I don't know about it. If y'all know about it, the Superman Super Show, gmail.com. Let us know.
Everybody, you know, books talking about particular creators and to take a step back from the particular and let's look at all, you know, I don't know, 25 creators in the late 30s or what, you know, whatever time frame you want to use to position it. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Of course, you know, just depends on what was known to those folks back then and what still survives as far as.
Well, I mean, you have all of these individual stories.
Yeah, that's true.
Why not read all the individual stories and put those connecting things together?
Yep. Yeah, good point. All right. That's your homework, Ed.
No.
Write that book.
I don't do homework. No. No homework.
Yeah, me neither.
I can go in there on my, and I say this as humbly as it can possibly be said. I can go on my bookshelf in here and pull one of four bachelor's degrees off and show you. I did my homework.
Yeah. I'm done.
Those days are over.
Yeah.
I did it. And
did that. It's done. Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to say about this issue?
Let's see. Issue 3. No, sir.
Okay. Well, then let's wrap this sucker up. I want to thank everyone for listening to this. I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode of the Superman Super Show. If you want to drop us a line, you can do that at the Superman Super Show at gmail.com. And if you want to help the show in any way, you can rate us on Apple Podcasts or just generally tell all your friends about us. So until next week, I'm Steven saying goodbye. Goodbye. And here's Ed saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yay.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Superman Super Show. Questions and comments can be directed to the Superman Super Show at gmail.com. If you enjoyed the show, you can help to boost our presence online by leaving a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. The Superman Super Show is a presentation of Steven or Else Media. For more nerdy content just like this, check out stevenorelse.com or just use the link in your show notes. Superman is a registered trademark of DC Comics and was created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
Superman's bad. I mean, he was bad.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sail good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.